Well, good morning, church. It's so nice to hear all the sounds of people sharing conversations with one another. And we're so glad that you could join with us in worship today. Thank you, Marilyn, for that beautiful prelude of music today. Can you believe it? It is already the last Sunday in April. Like, where did April go? But God has been with us throughout it all, hasn't he? Amen. And he will continue to be with us as we celebrate and praise his name. We invite you to stand with worship this morning as we sing together, "These are the days of Elijah," declaring the word of the Lord.
Let's sing together.
Salvation comes, behold he comes.
prayer time around the table, Verna shared from Psalm 46 and 10, and I felt just led to share it with everyone today. Psalm 46 and 10 encourages us as believers to be still and silent before God. This promotes a healthy rest in the presence of the Lord. We find personally for ourselves that in the midst of whatever life brings us, we need to open our eyes, step back, rest, stop what we are doing, and acknowledge who God is and what He can do. We are comforted, and being still in God's presence brings peace amid the struggle. Isn't that a wonderful reminder this morning to be still and to know that He is God? You may be seated as we continue to worship today.
All heaven
declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain reconcile us to God. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship You.
I
will proclaim
reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on this solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls.
Such a beautiful song that we've been singing for a number of weeks off and on that speaks, the Lord is my salvation.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For the grace of God has reached down and rescued me. Hallelujah for that. There's a beautiful song that we want to introduce this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me rest in pastures green. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. By water still he leads me. And then it says, you restore my soul, give me life and make me whole. And as we sing it this morning, it's a very easy tune, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be doing it. And we've listened to it a number of times over this past week. And just, if you want to just close your eyes and just allow the Spirit of God to just envelop you as we sing it together.
The Lord is my shepherd.
For words, that is. powerful words, yes, taken straight from Scripture.
Thank you, Jesus.
Psalm 23. And this morning, as the music plays, I invite you to silently just pray for our world today, and pray for our province, and pray for our town. Just as the music plays, we silently pray in our hearts this morning. Pray for our church family, for our seniors, for our youth, for our children, for anyone else that is not mentioned on that screen this morning. Just in the silence this morning before God, our Heavenly Father, who is our shepherd, and it restores our soul. Father, you have heard the prayers of your people this morning as we spend time silently before you. Father, thank you for the fact that we can just praise and be still and know that you are God, and we can reach out to you and claim the fact that you do restore our souls. And Lord, so many people this week whose souls have been restored. So, Father God, as we worship today, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be in tune with you. Help us not to be distracted by the things around us or the things that are unimportant. The only important thing is that you are here, and we've come as your children to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, as your word goes forth in a few moments, we pray, Lord, that as we look at allowing prayer to change our lives, oh, may it be so, and even stronger in our hearts and minds these days. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew 7, 7 to 11, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Last week, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle, I wondered why I couldn't see what I was saying, and I forgot to change my glasses over. Well, the great news is that in spite of the hustle and bustle last week, the great news is that we get to gather again today, and we worship Jesus because he is alive. And today, we're going to take a deeper look at how the gift of prayer can be a catalyst of change in our lives as we follow Jesus. We're going to look at how the gift of prayer can be a catalyst of change in our lives as we follow Jesus. Prayer is one of the most significant things that we can do as believers. It strengthens our connection with God, and it deepens our faith. The passage that Marilyn read earlier focuses on the importance of prayer. And this passage takes place towards the end of the most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount on our Tuesday night Bible studies. And in this sermon, Jesus covers several different topics. But here is what he has to say about prayer. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that it's broken up into two sections. And the second gives meaning and insight to the first. In verses 9 to 11, Jesus uses an image of a good-willed earthly father to help us understand how prayer has the power to change us. And what Jesus is speaking about here is a good-willed earthly father who wants to bless his children. Jesus believes that we can relate to God as our Father and as his children. First this morning, I want us to look at the fact that prayer is communication with a loving Heavenly Father. All of this gives us insight into verses 7 to 9. Jesus offers three action words that help us to discern how to interact with him when it comes to prayer, and then how to be changed by prayer. Jesus begins with three words regarding our prayer life: ask, seek, and knock. Say them with me. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And in the Greek language, these are what we call, or what the Greeks call, imperatives, essentially meaning that they are commands from God. But even more than that, they are present, which means that it's not just a one-time command. It's an ask, seek, and not, always in present tense. It's something we are called to do continuously. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And we find as we read that there is a unique feature in them. There is a progressive intensity as we move from verse 7 to verse 9. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. You see, we are first instructed to ask. It's the simplest of the three forms of action, actually. When we ask for something, we are making a request. We are anticipating something in return. God, please provide this for me. God, please help me in this situation. God, please heal my loved one. And when we ask, we are not demanding. We are polite. We are patient. But we ask with confidence in the ability that God has to act on our behalf. Isn't that amazing? We can ask in confidence, knowing that God will act on our behalf. We have a God who has no limits. He parted the Red Sea. He fed Israel with manna. He put on human skin and became one of us. He raised Jesus from the dead. We also have a God who loves us unconditionally, with everlasting love. And so we bring our requests to him, trusting that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too big for our Heavenly Father. Have you proved that in your prayer life this past week? Jesus commands us also to seek. While asking relies solely on the response of the one being asked, seeking indicates action of our own. We seek because we are looking for something. A few weeks ago, when there was an Easter egg hunt here in this building, the kids were seeking the color of the Easter egg because they knew that there was going to be a chocolate inside. They were seeking because they knew there was something to find. Seeking takes more effort on our part because it requires us to strive even more for the things we desire. And because of this extra effort, sometimes it can be bothersome. Sometimes it can be frustrating. Sometimes it can remain exclusive, but I go on seeking because what I'm looking for is important to me. So when Jesus commands us to seek in our prayer lives, it has a way of maturing us. It has a way of refining us. It has a way of teaching us, strengthening us, and changing us. Jesus says, seek with expectancy. When we kneel before the Lord God, our Maker, or when we stand, or when we sit, and when we pray, wherever we pray, do we pray with expectancy? There have been times in my life when I have searched for the heart of God. I've searched for the right answers to my circumstances. I've sought God's guidance. And when he responds through the mundane and the miraculous, it has taught me to keep on seeking. Because when I do, I discover a deep relationship with God along the way. I realize that he is with me in the seeking. And in so doing, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. And then Jesus commands us to knock. First, if we are knocking, there must be some element of resistance. There must be something in the way. If the door were already open, we wouldn't need to knock, would we? We don't knock on an already open door. We wouldn't. However, this is the action of knocking indicates that there is indeed a door that can be opened, that can be opened. There is a potential opportunity behind the closed door. Jesus is teaching us, therefore, the significance of being steadfast. The significance of steadfastness and passion in our prayer lives. To keep on knocking. No matter how old we get, to keep on knocking until the right door is opened and he shows us the path, his will for our lives. Because sometimes that first door, that right door, we might have to knock on a few before we get the right door to where God is leading us, right? And when it comes to praying to our good-willed Heavenly Father, we are called and commanded to keep knocking on the door of opportunity, to keep knocking on the door of possibility and potential, knowing that the door we stand before may not open right away. Secondly, this morning, prayer aligns to God's will and not the other way around. Prayer aligns to God's will and not ours. Every one of us in this room this morning has had situations, circumstances, desires, emergencies that Jesus tells us to bring to him. And we are invited to ask with confidence, to seek with expectancy, and to knock with persistence. What I have found to be true in my life over the last 35 years of being a pastor in ministry is that the answer to our prayers typically comes as either a yes or a no, or just plain not right now. This is the tough part about this passage of Scripture, that God defines good differently than we do. Sometimes when we pray, we are given exactly what we ask for, and almost immediately. And while the other times we are told no for our own protection, and other times the answer is not yet because the timing is not right. The leadership team has a chat group in Messenger that we share prayer requests and praise reports and different things like that, and where what God is laying on our hearts. If we're going into a particular situation or we know of someone who needs our prayers, then we can pray together just like that wherever we are at that very moment. The key for us is to remember that we have a good-willed Heavenly Father who is responding to our confident asking, expectant seeking, and that persistent knocking in a way that has what is best for us in mind. God does not respond to our prayers out of anger or frustration towards us. Excuse me. But he responds out of an everlasting love, an everlasting love. We have a Father who knows what's best for us and responds to our prayers out of love, out of mercy, and from a perspective that is eternal in nature. And then prayer moves us from anxiety to peace. Prayer is a powerful tool in the life of a believer, and one of the most profound outcomes of practicing an ask, seek, and knock prayer life is a change that takes place within us. This change is described by Paul as he writes to the early church in Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. There is a peace that comes to us that cannot be explained when we bring our situations and circumstances to God. When we place it all at His feet, we can trust that He knows what is best. We don't have to manipulate or control a situation to meet our desires, although the human in us really want to do that sometimes, don't we? We want to manipulate what the answers are going to be. But we believe that God has our best interests in mind. Anxiety has the tendency to attack our hearts and minds. It cripples our emotions and it clouds our thinking. But prayer helps to guard our hearts from anxiety and fear. And with God's help, this practice can become a daily part of our lives that changes us over time to become the agents of peace, the hands and feet of Jesus. Without making prayer a priority, however, we can easily allow our hearts and minds to become vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. For you and I'm sure that as we think about our own prayer lives, we can think about many times and places where and when we've been consistent, where we've daily asked, sought, and knocked, so that our minds stay connected to the Heavenly Father and allow the power of prayer to change us. This past week, I asked Verna to, as our champion of prayer, to and part of our leadership team, to ask people, like we did with God's Word, to ask people how prayer has changed their lives. And on Wednesday around this room, she asked, and these are the answers. I shared this with the leadership team earlier this week. Praying gives me peace and serenity within. It directs my way every day. It gives me hope and strength. Prayer assures me that God is the core of everything in every situation. Prayer takes my concerns from my heart, and I give it to God who helps me. Through prayer, God helps me in everything when I ask Him. When I said the sinner's prayer, God answered and forgave me, adopted me, and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. 10 statements, 10 people, 10 powerful statements of how prayer is an important part of their lives. Thank you for being so willing to share in that little exercise. There's a number of things that have happened this week, and it's been on the horizon for a while. We actually received funding back last fall for these things, and those of us who were seeking God's direction and how to go through prayer, it finally just clicked last Sunday. We were so focused on May is Mental Health Month, right? We were so focused on a resource kit for friends that we can share with them. That would include a hairbrush, a hot chocolate, a tea, a toothbrush. Everybody's got to have a stress ball, right? Our information, business cards, a little journal and a pen, and a package of tissues. And we were able to, the volunteers worked very hard on Monday afternoon to kind of put these together for us. And there's over 300 of them. And as we distribute these, we ask for your prayers, because these will be a point of contact to say, we are thinking of you. Our prayers are with you. And then last Sunday morning, after everyone was gone, there was an opportunity for me to share with a lady. And you know that there's been a group of us that have been reading this book, The Grieving Room, by Leanne Frazen, who actually is a pastor with the Baptist Church. Actually, she's in an executive role now in Hamilton. And a friend of mine from St. John's Temple when she was the youth pastor there. And this book, Making Space for All the Hard Things After Death and Loss. And Sunday afternoon, as I was sharing with a lady from here, and she expressed her grief, I said to Meredith, can you just go grab one of these books so we can share it? And after that, the light bulb went on. Duh. Didn't you see this all along? Weren't you listening to me all along? And God said, I'd like you to make up kits, so that when someone comes and says, I've experienced a loss of a loved one, then we can share this book. And then included in this Place of Hope bag is also a little book, God's Ways Through Brokenness, a devotional book, the information, a journal, and a pen, and of course the tissues, right? And then Meredith's business card. And this morning as we pray, and then there are some ideas on the horizon as well for other opportunities, a spiritual wellness kit, which later on will include a book for all of us together to be able to journey together in grace through God as he maps out our way to us. And this morning, just as the music plays, on the tables here are personal prayers for Colossians, for you to take and to use as part of your spiritual experience in the days to come. But you would also know that we have a dedicated prayer area out here with these prayer cards. And Sharon already filled one out around the table as we were praying here this morning. We invite you to come as the music plays, maybe to fill out your prayer request. And I'm going to invite Verna and Sandra and Marilyn. Meredith is away today on vacation, to just come and stand and to receive your prayer requests as you do it. And then the leadership team will share together to pray. Or on Wednesdays at 12, between 12 and 1, we come together to pray. So many of our friends that enter this building throughout the week put prayer requests in out there. Nothing is impossible with God. And so just as the music plays, and as we think about how can we develop a mindset that embraces God's perspective and trusts his responses, even when they differ from our desires. If we don't ask, and we don't seek, and we don't knock, God still hears, but we don't grow, do we? We don't grow. There are many stories in this room, and those who have been here before on a Sunday morning, of how prayer has changed their lives. Ask them about it. Ask them about it. And just as this music plays, is a beautiful old hymn of the church, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care. I invite you to come. Just spend a few moments in prayer around the tables. Write a prayer request. You don't have to sign it. It can be completely confidential. But it's another way that we together, as God's children, as God's body, support one another in these days together. And then we'll may have a prayer asking God to bless and to answer these prayers in accordance with his will and to pray for the people that over the next few months will receive a number of these resource kits that is part of the innovation grant from Territorial Headquarters. God is in this midst. God is in this place. God wants us to ask. Dream big. Dream big. Ask. Seek. And knock this morning. I invite you to come.
Sweet hour of prayer.
this leadership team prays for you. Meredith is also part of that team. We pray for you. We pray for your spiritual journey. We pray for this church, its growth, the number of people, new people that are coming in our midst that are part of our church family. These people are solid in their faith. And they are here for you as part of this leadership team of Whitby. And so as I invite you to stand, as Verna will pray now over all these requests.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, Son of the living God. Lord, you ask us to come. There is no other. And Father, we would humbly come before you. You're all powerful, all knowing, all loving, Lord. We thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit in this place this morning. And Father God, I come before you with all these requests, Lord, that dear souls have come because they know that they can come and sit before you and reveal what's on their hearts. They're coming to a God who is so good and faithful. And Lord, I would lay all these requests at your feet. You knew them before they were even written down, Lord. And we pray, O God, over these requests that, Lord, you will answer in your time. And we know you're going to. Oh God, we thank you for your mighty moving spirit in the lives of your people. And help us to keep asking, seeking, knocking. Oh God, you are so faithful. And I pray, Lord, that your people in these days will come to know you in a real and special way. Lord, as we lay these requests at your feet, you're already working, Lord. And we thank you so much. Lord, have your way and your will in our lives. And Father God, we pray over these bags that are going to be given out, Lord, that they will minister to the minds and the hearts and the souls of those that receive them. So, oh God, we leave these requests with you, Lord, knowing they're in the hands of a faithful God who cares and understands. And Lord, we pray that you will be on to those people, be on to them for their every need, whatever that need is, Lord. And we pray this in and through that precious, holy name of Jesus, giving thanks. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. If you're staying for Bible study, I invite you to just to get a coffee and a snack today. But this week, as we go about our daily activities, wherever we find ourselves, what is it that we've got to do? We've got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Absolutely. May God bless you today.